Good morning. My name is Kevin Carlisle, and I'm the minister at the First Christian Church in downtown Vancouver. Our passage today comes from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It's the story of the 10 lepers. While traveling to Jerusalem, he, meaning Jesus, passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin diseases met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I think it's fitting that we read this story, because in the story there is one leper who returns and gives thanks. This is an opportunity in our culture every year to return and give thanks to God. And so I just want to go through this passage, kind of like verse by verse, and just talk to you about how it affects me and how I think it might affect you. And the first thing I want to notice is Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was a place where the Jews worshiped the Lord. It was a place of sacrifice, and it was a place of great reverence for the Jews. But Samaria and Galilee had people in them that were marginalized. They were overlooked often and not treated appropriately or with respect. The Samaritans in particular were viewed as half-breeds, because when the Assyrians came in and did an exile on the 10 tribes of the north, which Samaria was the capital of, there was just a handful of people left behind, and they intermarried with other ethnic groups. And they weren't viewed as having pure religion or pure genetics. They were viewed as half-breeds. And so there was enmity between the Samaritans and the Jews on both sides. And it's interesting to me how Luke tells us these stories where the Samaritan is the one that does the right thing. And it just so happened that this marginalized person among the 10, who are also marginalized. So this guy was doubly marginalized, not only because of being a leper, but because he was a Samaritan. That man is the one who returned after he was healed to give thanks and to worship Jesus. And he was highlighted for doing that by Jesus. So this trip that Jesus took through Samaria and Galilee was full of divine appointments, ones that aren't even recorded. More divine appointments than we will ever know. You know, it says in the scripture that if all the things were written down, there wouldn't be enough paper to contain it. That's not quite how it says it, but that's my paraphrase. So Jesus had a divine appointment time with these 10 men. And we're told in verse 13 that they stood at a distance. I like how the King James says it. It says they stood afar off. And from afar off, they raised their voices. Well, that was really appropriate, actually, if you were a leper. Leprosy in Bible times was a horrible disease. Eventually, you would lose your fingers and toes, and your face would get disfigured. And you were to stay away, according to the book of Leviticus. You were not to be around people. You were to be outside the city limits. You were to have torn clothes. You had to have your hair a certain way and do a certain thing with your upper lip, cover it. And if somebody came close, you had to yell, "Leper, leper," to warn them. So these men, they were standing afar off. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." Well, let's just kind of look at that for a minute. I love how the scripture applies to us in all situations. Maybe you don't have leprosy, and maybe you're a picture of health. But I bet you can think of places where you are internally standing at a distance. You're standing afar off. You just don't fit. You feel like a leper. You might as well be a leper. But the right thing to do during those times is to do what these lepers did. Cry out, ask for help. It's interesting how they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, Jesus, our Savior, Master, our Lord, have mercy. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we experience God's grace. It's free. And not anything we earn, and it gives us forgiveness. Mercy is getting something, or not getting what you deserve, I guess is a way to put it. And if you had leprosy in biblical times, it was believed that you did something that caused that consequence and caused God to turn his face against you. But they knew enough about Jesus that they knew that there was hope. They'd heard about his mercy. And they initially said, "Master." They called Jesus Master, implying, "Hey, we'll do whatever you say." How many times when we want something in prayer have we made a promise? You know, you hear these stories all the time. People say, I'll go on the mission field. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll become a minister if you just give me fill in the blank. And then after things work out or sometimes don't work out, that promise is never fulfilled. The person didn't have that intention. No, the Lord wants us to call him Lord because we want to obey. We want to follow. Because it's a fellowship that happens when we follow. Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." That will take you on an adventure. That will take me on an adventure. But it requires us to deny ourselves and to be thinking about how to share his love. See, Jesus was always noticing the marginalized, and it was so important to him that we get that we do the same thing. that there's a whole parable about it in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats. You ought to go read that. And to the sheep, he says, you know, a whole list of things, including I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you visited me. And he says, you know, enter my kingdom. But to the goats, they had the opposite response. Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was sick and you didn't visit me. And then he says, depart from me. And at the end of that parable, he says, for as much as you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so it's been my experience that if I want the Lord to be my master, if I want to follow him, I need to be willing to have my eyes opened to see the people who are being overlooked and forgotten. So many times we think we're seeing everything, but we're really just seeing what we want to see. They did an experiment once where they told the students to count how many baskets were made in this basketball game. And so as they're watching this video of these guys shooting baskets and counting the baskets, they had a gorilla walk through the game. Once, you know, one way and once the other way. And so after the video, they said, okay, how many baskets were made? And a lot of people got them right. But then they said, did you happen to notice anything walking through the game? And they didn't notice. They didn't even see the gorilla. So we don't see everything. We see what we focus on. We see what we determine to see. So I want to encourage us this Thanksgiving, however you spend it. Maybe it's a Friendsgiving. Maybe it's a gathering of family. Maybe you're going to Sherry's by yourself. But whatever journey you take for your Thanksgiving, ask the Lord to open your eyes and notice what the Lord notices. I've done that and do that, and I'm always surprised. I don't do it all the time. I don't do it as much as I should. But when I do remember to do that, I'm always surprised at what I see and how easily I could have overlooked it. Okay, so then it says in verse 14 that Jesus, he told them what to do. Actually, what he told them to do is what they were supposed to do, according to Leviticus. That if they got healed, they were supposed to go to the priests, and the priests were to examine them and declare them clean. They weren't supposed to go into society until a priest had examined them. And we are told that they did go. It says while they were going, they were healed. I'm wondering if they were just going or if they were actually going to the priest. In some ways, it wouldn't be logical to go to the priest because they didn't get healed until they were going. And so you typically wouldn't go to the priest if you weren't healed. In fact, the priest would probably be upset that you did if you weren't healed. But they got a healing. I kind of doubt that they were really going to go see the priest before they got healed. And I wonder if the nine who didn't return to thank Jesus ended up going to the priest. They were supposed to. We just don't know. So the Samaritan, he was the one who, seeing that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. That's beautiful. That's worship. Jesus is telling us through this story not to forget worship. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. And while it doesn't say this, I think we can surmise that it logically flows. There's a time to speak softly, and there's a time to speak loudly. And this was such a time. This was a time of celebration and thankfulness and worship. I remember watching a commercial about the laundry detergent called Shout. And this was a long time ago, but it would, try to highlight how this laundry detergent could take stains out, and it would say, "Shout it out." Well, this is kind of a maybe poor analogy, but I think when we lift up our voices loudly in gratitude and thankfulness, we're removing stains from our psyche and from our hearts. We're experiencing a cleansing that happens in that worship. There's a song I like. It's all about the name Jesus. It's like Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. And then it says, like the fragrance after the rain. Worship does bring an atmosphere that is free of pollution. And it is like that fragrance after a rain. I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Le Grand and we didn't have a dryer, and my mom would hang the laundry on the laundry line outside. And I remember at night, my sheets on my bed smelled so good because of the smell of outside. I wonder if that's the fragrance after the rain. It's what I think it is. I think we get the fragrance of Christ. See, the Bible talks about how we have the fragrance of Christ. We get the fragrance of Christ when we worship the Lord, when we worship Him quietly, and when we worship Him loudly. But don't forget to worship Him loudly. I like the song. It's from Psalm 47. Used to sing that. Sometimes we still do. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Right? This man had experienced victory and triumph. He really was healed. And that healing took place when he moved. So many times people want a healing. And I'm not just talking about physical healings, I'm talking about heart healings. People want to forgive, but they just keep reiterating the bitterness in their mind. And they say, "I can't seem to let it go." Well, here's a question. When we experience that, whether it's the issue of forgiveness or some other issue, did we move and take steps of obedience? When you need to forgive somebody, ask the Lord to give you wisdom. What would the Lord have you do towards that person? Do you need to go to them? Is there something that you can apologize for? I used to do neighborhood mediations. And every once in a while, I'd get neighbors that had been mad at each other for years. And in the mediation process, they couldn't interrupt each other. That was the rule. And they each got to tell their story, uninterrupted. And then after, they would each have a chance to respond, uninterrupted. And it was not that uncommon to have them, through listening, realize that the whole thing had been a misunderstanding. And they ended up apologizing for the way they acted because they believed something because of something somebody else said or some other factor that wasn't even true. And so what they believed created a reality between them of unforgiveness and bitterness. But it wasn't until they moved towards forgiveness. You know, when they would come to mediation, that was a major step because that meant they wanted to get this reconciled. They moved towards forgiveness. I think this Thanksgiving, you know, you find yourself around people that you wouldn't choose to be around the rest of the year. So when you go to Thanksgiving dinner or Friendsgiving, whether it's with family or friends, open your heart. Ask the Lord to give you a love towards every single person, including those people that you've had negative experiences with. And ask the Lord to help you to move towards love. Love is a verb. So what action would the Lord have you do that's loving towards the people you're going to be with? So go and obey. And when you experience victory, then worship. Don't forget to worship because it helps us have that wonderful fragrance. It makes us more like God. You become like who you worship. So then we're told that Jesus said, "Where are the nine? Only this foreigner returned." I wonder if it's fair to say that only one times out of 10 do I remember to worship and give thanks. Another way to say it is 9 times out of 10 when I experience blessing in life, do I remember to give God thanks and to worship the Lord? And I'm not sure I am, you know, naturally a loud, thankful person. But it's very wonderful to shout sometimes your joy, to worship, clap your hands, all you people. When Paul was in prison, Paul and Silas, it was the worship, the praise while they're in chains that caused the earthquake and their chains to fall off. Shouting your thankfulness and your worship. That's what David did. We can learn so much from the life of David. We're wired to be completed by God. We aren't meant to just be human. I saw a show on humans the other day. Just watched part of it on Netflix. It's a study on humans. What's human? Why are we the way we are? Kind of interesting. But when we are completed in our faith by God, we're a different person than we were without that. That's what I see. That's what I believe. What Jesus did for us on the cross, we have reason to be greatly thankful and happy this Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to do what that song says this Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to count your blessings. Count them one by one. I want to encourage you to really have a Thanksgiving. God bless you all.